Hello, and welcome back to the Punish Podcast, a sort of monthly installment for punishbacklog.com, a video game and entertainment blog. You may recognize my voice, sort of. I'm losing my voice. My name is Amanda Tien, and I'm one of the site's editors and co-hosts of the podcast. I've got a quick note before we begin. We originally recorded this episode on August 15th, and for a variety of reasons, it's coming out a bit later. You know, life is life. As a result, there's some gaming news that's a little bit out of date, so I've added an epilogue to the end of the episode with a quick recap of what's released and what's new since our original recording. Anyway, here's the episode, and we hope you enjoy it.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Punished Podcast. For today's episode, we're discussing a handful of topics. We're going to start off with a quick rundown and brief discussion of this summer's big game announcements, then go over some exciting indies set to come out this year, and then, of course, we'll finish off with what everybody's been looking forward to, the Punished Podcast Fantasy Gaming Waiver Wire Draft. I'm Sam Martinelli, editor at Punished Backlog, pronouns he, him. Joining me are fellow editors Amanda and David. So as always, go around. I said your names already, but say them again. Names, pronouns, and your favorite RPG team member slash companion.
Hi, I'll go first, since you already heard my amazing trumpet solo there. But my name is Amanda Tien, pronouns she, her, or they. And definitely favorite companion has to be Garrus by far from the Mass Effect series. He shows up in the first game, and he's kind of like uptight. And then by the end, he's just like, he stays with you throughout all the DLC, all the games. And he just becomes like an absolute homie and like very brave, very rebellious, and a great video game romance. I love him so much.
My name's David Silbert, pronouns he, him, also an editor. And my favorite RPG team member would be Balthier from Final Fantasy XII.
I knew it.
No surprises there. Greatest game of all time and greatest character of all time. Gideon Emery does justice to this beautiful, beautiful character. And he's the leading man. What else can you say? Look up some clips on YouTube. Stellar party member.
Balthier's a good choice. I'm going to go with a character from Chrono Trigger, whose name is quite simple. Frog.
Amazing. Oh, my God.
He is a frog man. He speaks in thys and thous. He speaks Shakespearean. He's incredible. He's a brave knight, brave warrior. All the companions in that game are awesome. He's the one that sticks out to me the most because, of course, he is a frog with a sword.
I mean, that's awesome. I'm so lazy about classic games, and I know it like kills you, Sam, because you're such a good old video game advocate and like, proponent. And I've never played Chrono Trigger. I've never gotten remotely close to it. And I know it's like this beloved game. I understand it's part of the canon. And I got to tell you, hearing that, is like the makes me want to pick it up right now. I love frogs. I'm such a frog girl.
You will not love a frog more than this.
Frog's got a good storyline.
Oh, amazing.
Shout out to Magus too, though. Magus.
Oh yeah.
Not to give anything away, but
no bad choices from that game. All right.
No bad. All hits.
We're going to do a quick break and then go into Summer Game Fest announcements. Welcome back. For this episode's first topic, let's dive into some of this summer's big game showcases and announcements. For better or worse, video game culture is always looking forward, so even these carefully curated sets of advertisements draw a lot of attention and a lot of excitement. While E3, the former center of attention for video game announcements, while it's officially dead, plenty of other players have picked up the slack, with many big publishers having their own personal showcases. And of course, Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest gaining traction each year. Obviously, we don't know for sure if any of these games will actually be good or even come out this year, but it's still exciting to see new trailers and new ideas, or in many cases, new versions of old ideas. So I'm going to do a quick rundown. This all started with Sony's State of Play in late May. Not a ton of big announcements. We had a new cinematic gameplay trailer for Concord, God of War Ragnarok coming to PC, Dynasty Warriors Origins, the VR game Alien Rogue Incursion, Until Dawn's getting a PS5 update. We got the first look at Monster Hunter Wilds. I know that's going to be big. The Silent Hill 2 remake trailer, that was certainly a trailer we all watched. let's put it that way. And of course, the big announcement at the end, Astrobot, a new platformer for the PS5 that people are really excited about, and I totally understand why. That was a great trailer. After that, we had Summer Games Fest main showcase. Bit of a mixed bag. We got some cool announcements, LEGO Horizon Adventures. We got Harry Potter Quidditch Champions for people who want to do that for some reason. Civilization 7, new Fatal Fury, big fighting game, that's going to be good. Blumhouse, known for a lot of big horror movies, they're making some games, that's a big deal. We got Alan Wake 2 DLC, Slitterhead, that's the new game from one of the Silent Hill creators. Sonic X Shadow Generations, and a new trailer for Metaphor ReFantazio. For those who don't know, that's done by the same studio that does the Persona games. Then we got a big, big one, Xbox Game Showcase. This was just kind of heavy hitter after heavy hitter. Dragon Age The Veilguard got a trailer, a lot on Call of Duty Black Ops 6, new Indiana Jones trailer, Starfield Shattered Space, Assassin's Creed Shadows, Mixtape, a new cool indie from the studio that did The Artful Escape, Doom The Dark Ages, State of Decay 3, Fable, Perfect Dark, new trailers for those games that were announced years ago. Clair Obscur Expedition 33, that's a new turn-based RPG from a French studio. It looks really cool. David made a prayer hands emoji right in front of my face. I know he's so excited about it. I'm pretty stoked about it, too. South of Midnight looks really cool. I'm excited about that. We got some updates on World of Warcraft and Diablo 4. We got a gameplay trailer from Metal Gear Solid Delta. We got the announcement for a new Life is Strange, Double Exposure. New trailer for Avowed, Stalker 2, and of course the announcement for Gears of War E-Day, a prequel to the first Gears of War. I've written about this at length. I'm conflicted about it, but, you know, cautiously optimistic. Following that, Ubisoft Forward happened. This is probably the least interesting showcase in terms of new announcements. We got Prince of Persia The Lost Crown DLC, big gameplay showcases for Assassin's Creed Shadows and Star Wars Outlaws, both coming out this year. They confirmed that the Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake is coming out in 2026. They announced a new Anno game and DLC for Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. Finally, the June Nintendo Direct. Metroid Prime 4 Beyond is alive and coming out next year. They announced a new Zelda game, The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, where you get to play as Zelda for the first time in the series. Mario & Luigi Brothership, the first brand new Mario & Luigi game in almost a decade. Super Mario Party Jamboree, Donkey Kong Country Returns HD. Confirmation that Dragon Quest III HD 2D remake is coming this year, and that next year we're getting remakes of Dragon Quest 1 and 2. Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection. And one for Amanda, the Ace Attorney Investigations Collection. One last bit, Fantasian, an Apple Arcade game from the creator of Final Fantasy, is coming to Switch. I know David's excited about that. All right, there were plenty of other showcases. Those were the big ones. So my questions for the class, for the room. How would you, on a personal level, grade this whole collection of announcements?
For me, this is an easy A. I think at the beginning of the year when we were trying to draft our teams for this fantasy gaming experience, like, I just was like, not super pumped about a ton of stuff coming out. I was like, cool, like there'll be something, like I'll play games, like might be a good year for the backlog. And then I think the summer came out at a pace that was it was overwhelming, just like a waterfall of interesting things that seemed like an aggressive waterfall that seemed really exciting. So for me, there's a lot here that I was excited about as a, like, personally for my taste, there's a lot here that I was excited about for fantasy gaming, where I was like, ooh, I'd love to draft that at waiver wire. And I think what I like too is that there's so much here that I admire that I can think, like, this may not be for me, but I know that somebody's going to be really interested. Like, I know Clint, who writes for our site, is like a big horror game person, and I know he's really pumped about Slitterhead and the Blumhouse games. In preparation for this, I tried to watch a bunch of these trailers, and Like, I watched 2 seconds of Slitterhead, got so scared I had to exit out, and then I was like, I'm a grown up, I'm brave, and so then I watched the whole thing, and it did look really cool. It was really icky still, but I think for me, I'm personally pumped, and I think there's a lot here for, there's something for everyone, and I think that's a strong summer.
I'm wavering between a B minus and a C plus.
Wow. Okay. Yes,
sorry, Amanda. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say B minus. And here's why. If we're grading them in totality, I think the biggest miss for me is Sony's slate. Sony has always been like summertime, like clockwork. They bring the goods. They have, you know, their lineup ready to roll out, whether it's a new God of War or something new from Naughty Dog or something new from Guerrilla. And this, for maybe the first time in a long time, just felt like they had nothing. I know Astrobot is going to be, stellar. Mark Bowers, one of our writers in the Punish Backlog, I know he'd be cussing me out if he heard me talking ill of Astrobot. I know that's going to be a stellar game. But outside of that, it's very, very slim pickings for Sony. And I know we're going to get to it, but Xbox had an abnormally strong showcase and Nintendo had a pretty darn good showcase. But I look at Ubisoft and kind of the state of just open world games and the saturation there. And I don't even know what to say about it. Did EA do something? Did they? It's
nobody knows.
I don't know. I say B minus. That might be a little mean. Like, there's, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of really, really good games that are still coming out this year, as we'll dive into. I think there's a lot to be excited about on the back half of the year. But in terms of something that like really was going to get me excited, and I also have to take into account that with Nintendo, they had some really cool announcements. I think Zelda Echoes of Wisdom is going to be phenomenal. But Metroid Prime 4 kind of underwhelmed. When they showed it off after so many years of it being back in the oven. So I didn't have a lot of expectations for the summer kind of slate in lieu of E3, but yeah, I was left wanting just a little bit.
No, I'm kind of in between both of you. I would say this is a B+ summer games showcase. Ubisoft was mostly a dud, not because these games don't look any good, but just because there wasn't really anything new, and B, there's nothing there where I'm 100% going to play it. Like Assassin's Creed Shadows and Star Wars Outlaws, I'm waiting for reviews on both of them. Sony State of Play, similar thing. Obviously Astrobot looks right up my alley. That looks good. Summer Game Fest was okay, the main showcase, but the Xbox Game Showcase and the Nintendo Direct were exactly what I wanted, exactly what I was looking for. I'm the guy here who talks a lot about Starfield. Shattered Space looks great. Now that I have the guy on the site who wrote about Call of Duty, I'm interested in Black Ops 6 a little bit. South of Midnight looks really cool. Doom of the Dark Ages looks really cool. On Nintendo, I mean, they gave me exactly what I wanted. They gave me Zelda, they gave me Mario and Luigi, they gave me Dragon Quest, they gave me Metroid. So I'm fine there. I do think, now that I'm looking back at Nintendo, there's like 3 or 4 things I'm really excited about and a bunch of stuff I could not care less about, like Mario Party or Fantasia. But like Amanda was saying, like, it's, you know, a lot of other people be excited about that, and that's great. Amanda, what you got something to say?
Yeah, I was thinking too, David, you came in so strongly with the Sony disappointment. And I think that makes sense given that I would say you're sort of our big, quote unquote, Sony guy. Like, Final Fantasy is your jam. I mean, of course, they weren't going to be able to announce anything on that property since they just had Rebirth come out. And so I do think that's a fair critique. And I think for me, I'm looking at, and I feel so lame saying this, but like, I am so excited about Assassin's Creed Shadows and like Star Wars Outlaws. I know they're giant open world games. They're just doing the same Ubisoft shit. I don't care. Like, I want it. Like, the trailers look fun. I want to run around the world with my little alien guy and Outlaws, and like, Shadows looks so tight. Like, it just, the whole time I was just like fist pumping. It's total fan service energy for both, but I felt like a very simple, like, happy, like, you know. And then even with Zelda, I don't even know if that's a game I'll play, but I was like, feminism, yay, like, pumped. And yes, Sam, to your point, I'm really pumped about the Ace Attorney Investigations Collection. like one of the collections they released earlier, or like late last year, I think. It's a port of a bunch of DS games, but they're ones I never really got to play as much, because they're all from the prosecutor Miles Edgeworth's perspective, and the cases are a bit different. And so I'm excited. Great excuse to get to replay / play for the first time some of that stuff.
I think looking back at these, like, yeah, this was a great for you, Amanda. I know you've been excited about Outlaws. I know you like Assassin's Creed, the big up world. Like, I'm genuinely happy for you. Like, I watched some like YouTuber reactions to some of these showcases, and the Xbox one, there was one group of people that were like, I don't want these games all look exactly the same, and I don't want any of this. And meanwhile, this is like candy for me. This is,
yeah,
like giving me more Starfield and giving me Perfect Dark and giving me
Gears of War.
Yeah, Gears of War. Give me an RPG I can complete in 30 hours. Oh, yeah. My God.
Call of Duty, Indiana Jones. You know, yeah. Totally. Yeah. I mean, and so I do think it is an interesting summer for. It definitely seems divided by personal taste, for sure. Like, so I could see David a lower grade, because I think this is a great example of like, yeah, there's something here, and also a ton of stuff that looks awesome that won't be out till next year. And I think that's also a little tough, is that so much of the really good stuff, they're like, yeah, 2025 minimum, and you're like, oh, cool. I'm sad now, but you know, at least I know it exists.
Yeah, that's kind of the sugar high of the summer games, is like you get really excited and then you can't play any of these games.
Exactly. I mean, the ultimate sugar like candy that was stolen from me is no Hollow Knight Silksong trailer. Like, this is the time. We even waited till the end of the summer, and
we can get back to that during the
fantasy. We definitely will, but that's a game I tangibly noticed was missing from the summer.
All right, quick question for you both. We'll start with you, David. Which showcase stood out the most, and which one stood out the least?
Well, most, yeah, I have to give my flowers to Microsoft. I mean, compared to the competition, they really brought the bangers this time. And it wasn't just the fact that, I mean, and they needed a win desperately after the whole Tango Arcane Austin situation. And shout out to the folks at Tango getting acquired. That's,
yeah,
huge. That's awesome.
That's huge. So that actually makes me sleep a little better, right, knowing that. But they brought the goods, right? Like, I'm excited about a lot of the slate. I know Microsoft too well from I think it was their Gamescom 2014 presser, where they kind of had Scalebound and Crackdown 3 and a bunch of other games that like looked really incredible at the time.
Like Fable Legends, I think, was another one.
Yeah, that was one of them. And then they had Phantom Dust remake that ended up becoming a remaster of a really bad. It was not a good, like, it was a good presser that slowly went downhill as the games came out. And so I'm always wary of that with Microsoft. That said, there's such a volume, velocity of good games, that good looking games that they announced or showed more of, that I can't help but feel like they're going to hit on a couple. Fable, I continue to remain really excited about. Perfect Dark surprised me. Looked awesome.
It looks really good.
Looks really good. Yeah. I'm checking again. Clair Obscur. I know that's not going to be an exclusive, if I had to guess, or I don't think it is at all. But just having like a turn-based game that's not a Japanese developer is super exciting for me. So Expedition 33, really excited about that. And South of Midnight, besides the awesomeness of having a female black protagonist, it kind of feels like Microsoft's answer to Kena's, why am I blanking on the title?
Bridge of Spirits.
Thank you. And I know that just came to Xbox actually, I think today as of the time of recording, but yeah, they have a lot of cool games. And then throwaway, right? Worst conference. I mean, Ubisoft, I think. I hate to say it, Amanda. Like, I want Assassin's Creed Shadows and Star Wars Outlaws to be awesome. Everything I've seen of Outlaws got me excited to begin with, and then the more trailers they show,
I know,
more,
it's not, stop. I know, I'm please like, stop. No, don't show me anymore.
Show less. Like, and then Shadows, I maintain some hope that it'll be interesting. Believe me, I want it to be good, but I just feel like Ubisoft needs to go back to the drawing board and come up with some fresh ideas for I don't know, come up with a new IP too. I know Outlaws is a new IP, but it's something's got to give here.
Amanda, what about you?
Yeah, I think what stood out the most, I would probably also say Xbox. Like, I just had to re-Google what South of Midnight was, and I, as soon as I saw the images from it, I was like, oh yeah, this game looked awesome. Like, that's how many great stuff, like, that's how much great stuff was coming out, like, every minute. Like, even the recap lists get overwhelmed. Like, it'll start crashing because there's too many cool trailers embedded. So I think kudos to Xbox. And also, I do think that our Discord probably blew up the most over Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. So, you know, props to Nintendo. Like, it was so, such an overwhelming amount of pings. I was like, what, like, who died? You know, and instead I was just like, no, the greatest thing in the world, you know? So that was exciting. I think least stood out to me is the Summer Game Fest main showcase. Not, like, pretty whatever on a lot of that stuff, aside from the Alan Wake 2 DLC, which we'll get to at some point. There were a lot of great indie stuff, like a lot of great indie kind of stages at Summer Game Fest that I'll be talking about soon, but I don't think the main stage, I wasn't super impressed.
Yeah, actually, now that I'm thinking about it more, Amanda, I kind of agree with you at the Summer Game Fest main showcase. It's not even like it was bad, it was just, here's a bunch of games I have moderate interest in.
Moderate to no interest.
Like, yeah, on some of these. At best moderate.
At best moderate, yeah.
I'm probably not gonna play these. Ubisoft, at least, like, I've already played Prince of Persia Lost Crown. I probably will play the DLC when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So Xbox Game Showcase probably had the highest volume. It's very much a volume shooter, right? It takes the most shots and it makes the most of them, but it goes like 14 of 30 from the field. With Nintendo, I think it was Kyle Boseman. He's a YouTuber. He made a good observation about this Direct, that it feels like this would have been the Direct for like 3DS games or DS games. That's like the 2D Zelda and a new Mario and Luigi and Dragon Quest remakes. And like that to me is so exciting because that's to me where Nintendo gets weird and gets interesting and tries funny ideas that they don't always try with their big hard-hitting franchises. And so, like, Echoes of Wisdom is, like, the kind of game I've wanted from Zelda for, like, 15 years. Of not just, here's the big epic adventure that everyone wants. It's, let's try a weird twist.
Yeah.
Let's see if it works. It's going to work for some people. It's not going to work for everyone. But it's, like, that's what I want. Like, that warmed my heart. And, like, that alone makes that the big standout for me.
Yeah, can I actually just add to that? Like,
of course.
Yeah. I think, like, I agree with that sentiment entirely, right? Like, I think it's easy to map out what games from that presser would have lived on the 3DS, right? But I actually think, and maybe it's just copium, but I feel like Echoes of Wisdom might, we don't know a ton about it, but I wouldn't be shocked if it comes out and ends up being, like, an all-time great Zelda game.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Because
I hope so, man.
it feels like it's really leaning into that new, inventive Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom branding. Everything from, like, the logo to the music. And yet, due to it being kind of a top-down game, I feel like it has to kind of, just by nature, adhere to more of the standard Zelda structure, and yet it's still batshit crazy, right? You're still like climbing cliffs by making a string of beds for Zelda to climb up, and so I'm just really excited. And then just also obviously playing a Zelda for the first time in like a mainline game like this is such a big deal, and so I don't know, I feel like Nintendo often surprises when you least expect it, as you said, Sam.
100%.
So I'm excited for it. I think I'm also excited for Mario and Luigi. I don't quite love the series as much as the Paper Mario series, but they're always solid games. I can't imagine that game being anything if not a solid hit.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that made me feel, I actually, one of the things that felt good was in one of our last podcast episodes, I had done my like hot-ish take where I was like, I don't think the Switch is done yet. And then I had also said, like, I bet they're going to fill the space. Like, they're not going to just wait till the Nintendo Switch dies. Like, they're going to put stuff out. And so when all this cool stuff was coming out, when I say all this cool stuff, I mainly mean Echoes of Wisdom. I was like, yeah, yes, yes. Like, victory emotionally. Like, but yeah, I think it's some fun looking stuff. But what about you, Sam? I mean, you must be... I mean, I don't know. How do you feel about all these, this big slate?
I'm excited, man. I mean, I think specifically with the Switch, I mean, the funny thing about the Switch is it's too successful and continuously too successful for it to have the same end that like the Wii had or the DS, where it's kind of like running on fumes for a couple years. Mm-hmm. All of the death knells for Nintendo consoles have not appeared this generation. Like, generally what happens in previous, look back. There's always a bunch of Kirby games at the end, or there's like
Kirby as the arch demon of death.
Yeah, Kirby is the angel of death, which is also the villain in every Kirby game. They're doing a lot of ports and stuff. Like Donkey Kong Country Returns HD is pretty gratuitous and pretty egregious in my opinion, but that's still, they still have the juice. They still have, like, Metroid Prime 4 is coming out next year. Like, this is it's going to be a big deal. Like, even if the trailer for some people wasn't the biggest deal, it's like the fact that it's coming is, that's going to be a banger. That's going to do numbers. And like the Dragon Quest remakes are going to be huge. I'm really excited about those. I think it's the fact that it's not just like, I thought this year would be, hey, here's Luigi's Mansion 2. You get the Paper Mario remake. That's cool. But you also get Mario versus Donkey Kong. You get some of these like, these remakes or remasters that nobody really asked for, but people are willing to play because they just want something Nintendo-y to play. But no, this is a big deal. I'm excited about this. And Amanda, I think we're going to take a little break before we get into your indie game segment. But during that break, I want you to take a literal victory lap because you got it right. The Switch is not done.
Woo!
Just run around your house. I don't know what the weather's like outside. But
I will. It's hot, yeah. But I'll take every little feeling of a victory I can get.
All right, we'll be back in a few seconds.
All right, and we're back. This summer, there were some exciting releases, announcements of some particularly great-looking indie games, and some of that came from Summer Game Fest, and particularly the Wholesome Games stage, Nintendo, some releases on their own, Day of the Devs, which is going to be in September, also has like a running YouTube channel of cool trailers, and there's a lot of really good looking stuff. I want to give a brief spotlight to 10 of these games that I'm personally excited about. I'm going to give a rundown of the vibes and expected release dates, and I'll also invite my co-host to discuss with me. But just since we got this platform, we're talking about these big games, I want to make sure we also get a chance to talk about some really cool indies. First, starting with three that have come out in the last month. First is Bo Path of the Teal Lotus, which is by Squid Chalk Games. It's their first game, and it was published by Humble Games, which is now effectively defunct. It came out on July 17th. It's a super stylish Japanese folklore-inspired Metroidvania. Donovan on our site gave it an 8.3 out of 10. It's currently on Switch, Mac, PC, Xbox, XS, and PlayStation 5. Another one that came out was Ete. I don't know. I don't speak French. the developer.
Ete.
Great. Perfect. Thank you. Developer is Impossible Games. That came out on July 23rd. It's like this relaxing, cozy watercolor painter game where you're playing a character. It's first person, Montreal. The world is devoid of color and you're painting it. So like sort of a dreamy energy there. Right now it's only on PC. And then the other one that came out is Dungeons of Hinterberg, developed by Microbird Games, published by Curve Games. Yeah, Sam is like doing fist palms, and then David's also doing the cooking. Yeah, that's great, because we got our release date for that. Their release date was July 18th. That was on Xbox Series X and S and PC. I don't have either yet, so I haven't been able to play it, and I know that Dave and Sam love it, so I'd love to hear, like, y'all pitch it to me / our listeners.
Right now, I can give you a pitch right now.
Go for it, Sam. I'll piggyback off you.
Okay, so I'm pretty far along into this game. There are 25 dungeons in the game, and I believe I have completed 21. I've been back and forth between this and Call of Duty in recent weeks, so But this, the premise of this game is you play a young woman from Vienna who is a lawyer, like at a big law firm, and decides to pack all her stuff and go to this little town called Hinterberg for vacation. It was a vacation spot she used to go to with her family, but a few years before the game starts, magic is discovered in this town.
Oh my gosh.
That creates creates dungeons, these like natural dungeons in all these little worlds. And within these dungeons and these areas, there's little enemies you can fight that are just physical manifestations of magic. You get special abilities, spells that, depending on what region are you in, you're in, one can like summon a tornado, one ability is shooting a beam, one's creating a bomb. It's like you get Zelda-like abilities that you get in normal Zelda games.
Oh, sick.
And the point of the game is you're just, every day you can choose to go complete a dungeon, and, but you can only do one a day, and you get a stamp in your little stamp book. But also, yeah, if you don't want to complete a dungeon, you can just sit on a bench and gaze out at the sky and think about life. Mm. And then you have an evening activity where you can meet other people and do various things with them. Sometimes it's, you get to learn more about their lives and what they like to do on vacation. And of course, there's another little like subplot going, bigger plot going around that reveals some corruption in this town, of course. But the general vibe of this game is it's what it's like to be on vacation while also solving Zelda puzzles and Zelda dungeons.
That sounds delightful.
It is so good. I love it so much. It's like, it's the kind of like writing in games that I crave, because there are times where you meet someone from town who's like, you meet an older lady at one point who seems sick of all these tourists, and you realize that she'd actually been vacationing in this village with her husband for 30 years. So before the magic was even there, and then he passed away. And so like, she's seeing this town go extra corporate for the dungeon style vacation spot, but for her it was just like a quiet little town to go to. And like, you just hear all these testimonials, and you get to, you know, by the way, when you hang out with these people, it boosts other stats of yours, like familiarity, or familiarity means you can use better weapons and you hire your relaxation, you have more health. It's just lots of little things like that. The actual dungeons are a blast. They're so good, they're so varied. This is like not at the top of my game of the year list, but close to the top. It's really good. David, what's your impression so far?
Yeah, it's up there for me too. I mean, you sold me on it originally because you said it was a beautiful mix of like Zelda and kind of like a cozy game. And I definitely think that that's accurate. I think the thing that a lot of people will resonate with, and you described it well with the actual mechanics, but it really plays like a Persona game as well. And it's clearly inspired by Persona because 100%. Everything from like the stylish menus. So like when the days pass, the calendar board advances just like in any Persona game. When you're hanging out with people and increases their, you know, you have a little dialogue exchange with them, and then you unlock a new ability when you advance to friendship. It's kind of like the confidants or social link system. But then it really works surprisingly well with the whole kind of Zelda structure, the whole, the dungeons, the fact that you can kind of tackle them at your own pace. And there's not, even though it has like a time-based system, there's no real rush. You're just kind of like, remind me of the main character's name, Sam?
Luisa.
Luisa, yeah. So she kind of settles down after the hustle bustle of like being a lawyer or training to become a lawyer. And so like being able to kind of find herself in this magical vacation spot gives her the space to do all that. But also, one of the things that I really appreciate about the game, maybe more than the actual, like the gameplay is a little, it's a little like janky, for lack of a better term. Like, it almost reminds me of like a PS2
it's
game.
Fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Like the everything works. And I think the dungeon design is more about the puzzles, and the puzzles are fantastic, but the actual combat I think is like fine. But the writing is what really stands out to me about this game. The writing is exceptional, and I've never encountered this in a game before, but so many games offer like different dialogue choices and they're just kind of like forgettable. It's like, okay, I'm just advancing. Or if you're doing like a dialogue tree, you're just like, all right, like a completionist like me, I just hit everything and I skip through everything just to make sure I do it. Here, like, you actually have to make choices about, like, wow, like, I actually really want to figure out why Louisa's here. Like, oh, she, like, you learn a little tidbit about her law firm back at home, and you only get it if you click that one dialogue option. And if you don't get it, you don't go through all of them. You actually have to choose and to figure out more, and they slowly reveal more organically through dialogue conversations. And everything's interesting. Everything's super well written. They feel like believable characters. I love the idea that it's just like the ski town that became magical, and the push and pull that, as Sam alluded to, it has on the residents. There are people who live there all their lives that hate the transformation. There's corruption in there. It's a really, really well thought out game. It's a fantastic addition to Game Pass. And it's definitely near the top of my list as well. Not the top. Erdtree's probably going to win it all for me, but it's really damn good.
That's awesome. And that's actually a fair thing. In terms of big games, Shadow of the Erdtree, the big DLC for Elden Ring came out. But that's getting to, it's going back into big game land. We're here talking about little indie games. For a couple games coming up this fall, we've got Demon School by the developer Necrosoft Games. It's going to be published by, I think it's Ysbird, or maybe Ysbird, Y-S-B-R-Y-D Games. It's slated to come out September 13th. David hyped this up previously at sort of our beginning of the year, what we're excited about list. It looks very stylish, turn-based battle system. It looks like it might have sort of a Persona energy as well. It's expected to be on PC, PS4, PS5, Switch, Xbox One, and Xbox Series XS. The next one is Life is Strange Double Exposure. Developer is Deck Nine. Publisher is Square Enix. So debatable on how indie that really is, but then let's, you know, it's a conversation for another time. It's slated to come out October 15th. For those of you that don't know, Life is Strange is this like very story-driven big emo video game series. It has this like perennial feel of autumn in the Pacific Northwest, a lot of great music. It really hits at the heartstrings, and the characters, at least one character, always has some sort of magical realism power. So it starts to like really hit. It does a lot of really interesting stuff with world building, character choices. And if you haven't played them before, you should. They're great games. So this is the first game to go back to the first characters or the first game's protagonist. So it should be a big gut punch. Expected on PlayStation 5, Nintendo Switch, Xbox S and PC. And I do have thoughts on Life is Strange, but I'm going to save that for the end of the roundup. And the next one and last one of this section is Afterlove EP. Developer is Pixelnesia. Publisher, a fellow traveler, and expected Q3 2024. This is a game that both David and I have been tracking and rooting for the last couple of years. It's from the team that did Coffee Talk, story about love and loss, and works through some very real themes of real life loss for the team as well. It'll be out for the Switch, PlayStation 4 and 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. So any thoughts on those games? I know I touched on Life is Strange thoughts, but want to open it up first to y'all.
Yeah, I was just going to say that if Dungeons of Hinterberg gives the kind of modern Persona vibes, and you're a fan of the old school Persona games like Shin Megami Tensei or like Persona 1 and 2, then you're definitely going to want to keep an eye out for Demon School. I think we're getting very close to release there. I'm hoping that we can get the opportunity to cover it more closely as it approaches release. But that was a really fun game to demo. And other than that, After Love, I just wanted to give a quick shout out because I think you alluded to it as well. But unfortunately, it also, there's a little like narrative behind the game as the creator of Coffee Talk and the main creative force behind this game passed away a little while back. And so the team is continuing to carry it out in his honor. So I'm really excited to see how that shapes up.
Yes, about Life is Strange. So it's hard because I have some mixed feelings on this because love Life is Strange, those games. I mean, I've cried so much playing those games in like good ways.
Such a good franchise.
Such a great franchise. So much opportunity. I feel a little weird about this one though because Deck Nine has had some controversy earlier this summer.
What's the controversy?
This was the one where it like blew up on Twitter. This was the devs that accused Deck Nine of like crunch and sexism and like cultural stuff. I don't know if you quite remember. This was in April.
Oh, I do remember this. Yeah. I don't think I actually read the article.
Okay. No, it wasn't great. Like, I hate to say it, it's not the worst culture that I've heard of. It was an IGN piece.
Rebecca Valentine, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's a really good report. Especially I think part of why it's alarming is because the games really focus on a lot of like queer characters, particularly True Colors as this Asian American protagonist. That's really great. So it's like not great to have like some of this, like it's never great to be like, like racism, sexism, like, you know, some toxic stuff at a studio. And it's like, especially not at one that's like producing this game. But you know, so then I feel weird about that. And the trailer for it, I was really excited about the game and concept. And then I watched the trailer again last night, and I don't know if it's going to be good. Like,
really?
Yeah. I think the voice actress for Max doesn't feel right. Either she got, like, it just doesn't seem to be hitting. I'm not quite sure about the story. It seems like it's heavy handed.
More of like a cash in on the original IP than anything else?
Yeah, I sort of feel like that. Yeah. And it's like, it's another murder mystery that you can solve with magic. You know, my friend's dead. Like, everybody, her friends all be dying. Like, don't be her friend.
I mean, it's a shame because, I mean, I don't want to put the cultural thing under the rug, but like, removed for a second. Actually, Deck Nine, I thought, did a phenomenal job on the follow-up to Life is Strange in Before the Storm, like the prequel episodes.
Yeah, that was
like
really
the miniseries with Chloe and her friend. I forget her friend's name.
Her other nice dead friend.
Yeah, was it I want to say Rebecca, but that might be wrong.
It's something like that.
Yeah, but I've only played Life is Strange and Before the Storm, and I like them both, but I loved how just the enhancements that were made to the gameplay, and I got into Life is Strange 2 a little bit, and it was a little bit of a slow start. I enjoyed what I played of it, and Captain Spirit was great. Mm-hmm. Never got to play. I have True Colors sitting on my shelf.
Oh, so good.
I'll start with those first, but I've always had a soft spot for these series because I feel like we just don't get... It's just the quiet moments, right? Like, you said it yourself, mm-hmm. like the quiet, compassionate moments between two people in a small town.
Totally.
And the love that they have for one another. And I don't know. Yeah, it just sucks that the studios and it has some shit going on internally because I do want to root for it.
Totally agree. And like True Colors is one of my, I think, probably favorite games that I've played in the last couple of years. So wow. I definitely... Yeah, so I feel it. Yeah, I feel it big time. And okay. Sam, did you have any thoughts you wanted to weigh in on this? I know that was a very David Amanda heavy section. No pressure.
No, these are not games I've really played much or know much about, so I will stay out of that. So
no worries.
I got nothing, and that was a lot of words to say that I got nothing.
Nothing to share on the next section. So
yeah. Well, actually, you know what? Before we move on, while we're here, Sam, I know that Plucky Squire just got its release date, which is this fall. Do you want to talk about that a little bit and like why you're excited for it?
Yeah. So the Plucky Squire, I think it was announced a couple years ago, maybe a year or two ago at a Summer Game Fest. It's a game that looks like you're doing a 2D side scroller storybook thing, but then he pops out and he's actually a 3D character in this world. And in this kind of like in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids world, like your little toy figure in everything else in normal life is big. It looks really cool. It looks like there's lots of little mini games within a larger game. Definitely has kind of like Dreamcast PS2 era level vibes of 3D platformers. So that is extremely for me. I'm glad it's actually getting a release date. I think it's September 17th.
You are correct.
Which means I don't have to drop it for my fantasy team. And also that it looks good. It looks like an exciting, fun game. The thing about indies that I love is when these studios make games that a AAA publisher just would not.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're incapable, they're just not interested. And the Plucky Squire, like all of these games are kind of like that, but particularly games like the Plucky Squire for me.
Yeah,
it sounds like something Nintendo would think of, but would never actually do.
Totally. I mean, it's so playful, like jumping between 2D and 3D. I mean, seems fun. The art looks great. I pulled up that info real quick. The developer is All Possible Futures. Publishers Devolver Digital, and I like a lot of games they've put out. That's going to be on the Switch, PlayStation 5, PC, Xbox Series X, and Series S. And like Sam said, September 17th. So I'm going to do a quick recap of my last four games, and these are all games that got kind of some attention this summer, but don't think they'll come out till 2025 or beyond. I just want to give it a quick highlight because they look awesome. The first is Rooster. This is the first quote-unquote console game from the developer Sticky Brain Studios. Expected Q1 2025, TBA. I think it'll come out around Lunar New Year, because that's what the theme of the game is that you're playing Rooster, who's like trying to make this big dinner for all the other like Chinese / lunar zodiac characters. It's cooking plus puzzle game. There's like hand-drawn ancient Chinese inspired art. It's a woman and BIPOC and non-binary led team, all very exciting. Based in Canada, expected for PC and Mac. The next one is Tiny Bookshop. This will be the first title from developer Neolotic Games, TBA, on the announcement. But you get to run a little tiny bookshop by the sea. It looks great. It looks cozy as hell. And it looks like you'll actually still have some good management work in there, too, of, like, managing your inventory and your guests and, like, making sure you're selling stuff. So I like where a cozy game, like, does keep some active work going on. Platform so far, PC and Mac. Another game that I was thinking about is Lost and Found Co. The developer is Bit Egg Games, publisher Camera Games, also a TBA, and on the announcement. And it's got these like really fun graphics with sort of a Pokemon like sort of aesthetic meets Where's Waldo, and you like have to find lost things and bring it to people. It looks like cheeky and fun. So far, it's only expected on PC, but looks really cute. And the last one, which feels extra appropriate for like the theme of this section, is called While Waiting. It's by the developer Optoillusion. They've made a lot of puzzle games, including the lauded Moncage, I don't know, maybe it's French again, I don't know. And that was in 2021. While Waiting is also TBA. It's giving like big untitled Goose Game energy, which I love. Like, it's sort of this like ethos of what's all the stuff while you're like waiting for your bag to come out at baggage claim, or you're like waiting in line at the bank. Like, what's all the kind of like unhinged stuff you would want to do while you're waiting. But then also this reality of like trying to be a good person. And it just seems fun and like kind of eccentric. Platform so far, PC and Mac. So wanted to hear if y'all had any thoughts on those games. Absolutely zero pressure. And, or are there any other indie games that you're pumped about? I welcome any and all hype.
I've got one. I missed it. It was the previous section, but I want to plug it anyway. It's a game called UFO 50, coming out That's September right. 18th. Developed and published by Moss Mouth, a.k.a. Derek Yu, who did Splunky 1 and 2. And this is a game that I've been tracking since, like, 2018. It has been slow going for this game's development, but I get why. The premise is that it's called UFO 50 because it's a collection of 50 games. Single player, multiplayer, a mix of genres, platformers, strategy games, first person dungeon crawlers, puzzle games, whatever, you name it, it's in there. And it's supposed to kind of emulate old school NES, 8-bit, maybe there's some 16-bit inspired games in there too. But it's just the thrill of getting some game, some collection, bringing it, downloading it to your console, playing it with your significant other or best friend, and just delving into the collection. It's kind of like a little NES classic, but you don't know any of the games. So I've been stoked about this game. I cannot wait for it. Even if 40 of the games are absolute dog water, that's going to be the fun of it. It's kind of like when I got my play date that I'd never play. It's the fun of a grab bag of games, some good, some bad, some humorous, some not. Can't wait for it. Going to be a fun time.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Do you know what its expected platforms? Did you say that?
Definitely PC. I want to say consoles, but actually, if you give me 1 second, let me just...
It might like start on PC and if it's successful.
I think.
Yeah, that stuff. Makes sense. Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah, it's Windows to start.
Okay, cool. Awesome. I love that. Thank you for both of y'all for hyping Dungeons of Hinterberg and Plucky Squire and UFO 50. And thank y'all for giving me the space to highlight these games. And while we may not pick any of these games for our fantasy teams, which is coming up in the next section, we might play them. And I'm glad we have the opportunity to spotlight them. I love when we get to talk about, read about, hype, review, play, whatever, and root for people who are working hard and making cool stuff and making their dreams come true. I mean, that's so awesome. It's so hard to make things. So sending lots of good vibes to the devs out there. We're working hard. And we'll take a quick break and come back for the Fantasy Gaming Waiver Wire. Boom, 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 boom.
And we're back. Okay, bringing us home. I get to do my section, which is cool. And we're doing our annual now Final Fantasy. I'm biased. Fantasy Gaming waiver wire pickup. So for those who didn't follow along last year or don't follow fantasy sports, the idea is we drafted a team of games, 6 games a person at the start of the year. And the competition is to see which team of the four best Metacritic scores of the 6, when you average the score, the best score of the 3 is the winner. But we also acknowledge that during the summer, there are a lot of great games that are announced and a lot of great games that are, surprise games that are stealth launching in the fall. And we want to take into consideration those games and get them on our fantasy teams if we can. So we have a waiver wire pickup, and the rules are very simple. We take turns in a snake order, in order of person who's in last place currently, then second last, so on and so forth, and snake, reverse snake. And we drop a game from our lineup of 6, and we pick up a new game. And hopefully that can help us, course correct if a game got delayed, because that's basically a 0. A game that didn't score so well. So it's a fun way to shake things up. And before we get into the actual waiver wire itself, I want to give the audience a little high level look into the state of fantasy gaming so far. So we have 3 teams. We've got Team David, Don't Let Me Down, Phil's Mock Reviews. We've got Team Amanda, What the Fuck Did I Even Pick? And we've got Team Sam, Super Switch Cube Advance U. And last time, I believe, when we did our latest update was in March, a while ago. I'll own that. That's on me. But it was a pretty quiet start to the year. I mean, it was a strong start to the year, but not a lot of the games had hit yet. So we didn't have a ton to talk about. But I had had a 92 average because I had drafted Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Amanda had an 88 average because of Persona 3 Reload. And Sam had an 87.5 average thanks to like a Dragon Infinite Wealth and Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. So it was a very fast and furious beginning of the year. And then more games got drafted and the landscape has shifted. So since then, notably for my, I'll go with my team because I have the most games on the board here. Since then, I also drafted Dragon's Dogma 2, which got an 86. Solid. I drafted Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, less solid, an 80 score, and then Rise of the Ronin, which got a 76. In addition, I drafted Avowed, which was delayed, so that's essentially a 0, and then a game that's right around the corner is Black Myth Wukong, which I have high hopes for. If we kick it over to Amanda, Amanda also drafted Hades 2, which is getting rave impressions from an early access standpoint. However, Metacritic has kind of cracked down on what gets scored in early access, and it remains scoreless, and the rule is that you have to have a score for the game to count. So effectively, unless Hades 2, they bump up the release date to the end of this year, Hades 2 is a 0 for Amanda. But Amanda also drafted Paper Mario The Thousand Year Door, which garnered an 88, so that brings her average up to an 87.5, not too shabby. The rest of her slate is Hollow Knight Silksong, a holdover from last year that she drafted again, thinking that it was going to come out, and I don't. Hey, maybe it does, but not.
Yeah, looking... maybe. I don't know. Maybe the world's magical.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe Santa Claus is real. Star Wars Outlaws. That game's definitely coming out right around the corner. Remains to be seen. We'll see if it's good. Still rooting for it. And then Frostpunk 2 coming out in September. First one was good game. Stands to reason the second one will be good too. And then last but not least, we've got Team Sam, who in addition to Like a Dragon and Prince of Persia, he drafted Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, which is still slated for release in November. Princess Peach Showtime, which garnered a 74, not too hot. That brought his average down to an 83. But he's also drafted The Plucky Squire, which we gave the little preview into in the previous segment, looking good. And then finally, Metroid Prime 4, which we got confirmation is dropping in 2025. So that is effectively a 0. So we've got to recap, Team Sam is in last place currently with an 83. But what I was telling you, Sam, it was close. I'm in second to last place with an 83.5. So it could have gone either way. It's tough. And then Amanda's well ahead with an 87.
Shocking. Shocking.
You picked some good games that came out early in the year.
I picked two games that came out.
You didn't pick games that were bad.
Bad. You should have picked games that were bad. Then you get the draft first. That's how that works.
Yeah, exactly. Instead, I pick games that are unlikely to come out ever. So.
Yeah. No, well, so before we get going, I want to know any kind of surprises, anything that you're particularly surprised about with your team or someone else's team, or things that you're particularly proud about?
I'm a little surprised that Princess Peach Showtime was as low as it was. I did have high hopes for that, but you know, it was definitely a game made for a younger audience, let's put it that way, and was very simplistic as a result. I really love Hellblade 2. I'm surprised it only got an 80.
Wow.
That game really resonated with me. And it's up there with Dungeons of Hinterberg for like where I put it on my list this year. I really like that game.
Huh.
Maybe I'll feel differently in a few months. Maybe I'll replay it, but that game was awesome to me. But yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think I was disappointed that Hades 2 didn't get any early access reviews because there had been a lot for Hades. So bummed about that.
It got reviews. It just
Metacritic.
Yeah, 9. So game.
Yeah. Good game. That's not on Metacritic. but I'm happy for Supergiant. Bum for me. I also Frostpunk 2 was originally slated to come out in June or July, and they delayed it to September, so that's totally fine. You know, you take the time, rather it be good, you know, for everybody's sake. But I'm bummed for me because it meant that I'm in this sort of weird place where I'm like, the way that we play the final scores is that we drop the two lowest scores, and so that means if you've got two games that haven't come out, like, okay. But that means I've got a team that's got a lot of stuff that's like, is this happening? So I wish it had come out for my sake. But yeah, what about you, David? I mean, you've got Black Myth Wukong right around the corner.
Yeah, no, I'm actually feeling good about that game from the recent trailers. As long as it's like not complete smoke and mirrors, I think that game is going to be pretty solid. Avowed getting delayed was surprising because Microsoft claims it's because people have too many games in their backlog. I get it was tongue in cheek, but I mean, don't get me wrong. It's good for the state of the game. I'm glad that it has more time in the oven. I'm actually surprised that Microsoft went ahead and did that. For me, I think it's pretty clear what I'm going to, I mean, I won't give it away, but it's pretty obvious. Like I just look at the numbers and I pick the lowest number and the game that didn't, that got delayed. Right. I'm not kicking Wukong off. So my drops for this waiver wire are pretty set in stone. But what's important is what we pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You like that for a segue?
I do. And for context, we're recording this on August 15th. So keep that in mind.
Yes.
as you listen.
I'll go through real quick the list. I know you dove into a lot of the indies coming out this year, Amanda, but I'm going to go through some of the heavier hitters or the big hitters, the big budget games. You'll hear some games that we talked about before, but and then we'll get into it. We have missed all the games that we had slated as potentially coming in July or that did come out in July and August. No big deal. None of them were particularly like massive games, but the action starts back up in September when we have Stalker 2 Heart of Chernobyl launching September 5th. We've got a little game called Astro Bot releasing September 6th. The indie we just covered, Demon School, September 13th, UFO 50, September 18th, Harry Potter, Quidditch Champions on September 23rd, The Legend of Zelda, Echoes of Wisdom on September 26th, The Silent Hill 2 Remake on October 8th, Metaphor ReFantasio on October 11th, Super Mario Party Jamboree, Don't Make Fun of Me, Sam, October 17th, Call of Duty Black Ops 6, October 25th, Life is Strange, Double Exposure on October 29th, Dragon Age The Veil Guard, October 31st, Mario and Luigi Brothership on November 7th, Slitherhead on November 8th, Dragon Quest III HD 2D on November 14th, and then Assassin's Creed Shadows on November 15th. And then correct me if I'm wrong, but games that still remain without an actual date, surprisingly, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle is just TBD this year. Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater is also TBD. There was some rumblings.
It's not confirmed for this year.
There were some rumblings that a release date got leaked, but I think it's safe to say that that's not true. So we shouldn't be drafting that game anyway. And then Lego Horizon Adventures Holiday 2024. So there's before we dive into it, I mean, just thoughts on the slate of games coming out. I know we talked about it kind of at length earlier, but just when we have it on a list in front of you. There are a lot.
I mean, it looks like a busy fall.
Yeah.
For gaming.
Yeah.
I'll put it this way. I was saying in our Vibe Check podcast from like 5-6 months ago that, like, as much as I'm loving Balatro, and that's my current game of the year contender, mm-hmm. I think the game that will be my game of the year is on this list somewhere.
Hmm.
I think that's
what's yeah.
Gonna I don't that's know what cool. it's going to be, but I really do believe that like the best is yet to come. So I'm excited.
I hope so. Like, again, I think Shadow of the Erdtree is, I mean, and I'm not even the biggest Elden Ring or Souls guy, but, and I liked Rebirth a lot. People will have listened to the Rebirth podcast by the time this one comes out, so you'll know our thoughts on that. But Erdtree, despite it all, I'm like, that's still a damn good, it's just really good. It's like, I haven't played it a lot, but it's just really good. But I am optimistic, Sam. I really do want one of these games to come out of nowhere and really surprise me. What do you think, Amanda?
Yeah, I agree. I think somebody... I took my time with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I mean, when I say take my time, I mean, it took me... You know, it just took me a couple months to play through this 120-hour epic. And it was so good, and I had a great time with it. And somebody was asking me, like, oh, what's your next big game? And I'm like, I'm waiting. Like, I don't know what it is yet, but, like, it hasn't hit this summer yet. So I'm excited about the fall. As a player.
Yeah. On the previous time we did this, I had our little team industry as like a fun tongue-in-cheek, but just, I'll do it real quick. Just to show you the games that we could have drafted. Balatro, 90. That's a hard one, because like, it came out of nowhere, so I don't blame, put it on us. Tekken 8, which I know Sam wished he could have drafted, 90. Yeah. Unicorn Overlord, I don't think any of us would have done it, but really, you know, good vanillaware title, 87. Helldivers 2, didn't like kill it, but an 82 is pretty solid. Stellar Blade in 82, and then Animal Well, which I don't think anyone was really betting on Donkey to you know, find a diamond in the rough, but a 91 there is really, really solid. I don't know if it's
a really good game.
Yeah. It is a good game. I don't know if it's 91. It'll be on my list, but that's, I guess, a conversation for another day. Sam, let's get right into it. You're on the clock, all my right. friend.
So I'm going to drop, obviously, Metroid Prime 4, because it is not coming out this year. I have my pick of the litter, and I'm going to go with my heart and not my head. I didn't get to draft a Zelda game last year, so I'm going to draft it this year.
Yay,
the Legend of
good
Zelda,
for you.
Echoes of Wisdom. I'm betting on it. Every Zelda game gets a good Metacritic score.
It's a good pick.
And even beyond that, I think this one's going to be, I think it's going to be great. I'm really excited.
Yeah, that is easily my most anticipated game for the rest of this year. I would be shocked if that game did not perform. It just looks so, like, just by the vibe and music alone. And I think, like, I wasn't the biggest fan of Link's Awakening, the remake. I thought it was fine, but I love the fact that we're repurposing the engine and using it for something that
awesome.
New. Like, it's, cannot wait for this game.
And it looks like they're really taking advantage of how much people have liked building and making and playing with the world, especially in Tears of the Kingdom. So I like saying that on sort of what feels like like an even more of a sandbox feeling.
All right, now your turn, David. What do you got?
Yeah, so let me scroll back up. Let me see what I got here. No shocker, I'm dropping Avowed. And I think this is an easy pick for me. I'm picking Astrobot.
There it is.
It was between Zelda
and really
Astrobot.
Like Astrobot. It's Astrobot's such an interesting series because the first game started as a VR game. And so, like, my buddy, again, Mark, I mentioned him again. He loves, like, Astro's Playroom on the PS5, which I'm like, I like Astro's Playroom. But it's like a tech demo. It's like a little four-hour game.
It's like, it might be the best
tech it's
demo
good.
Ever made,
it's good,
though.
But, like,
so good.
It blows my mind that the people who played Astro's Playroom didn't even play VR Rescue Mission or whatever it's called. That game was insanely good. That game was five times the game. And that's just a compliment to the series as a whole. And unbound by VR and just given like the opportunity for, I think it's what Tima, is it correct?
Tima,
I was going to say Asobi. For a second, I thought Flight Sim was Asobi too, but
that's Asobo.
Thank you. Yeah. Tima Asobi, I think they'll cook and it's going to be, I can't wait for this game. That's my second most anticipated game.
Amanda, any thoughts on Astrobot? Do you want to play this game at all? Do you care?
My like context of Astrobot was like, oh, I think Astro's Playroom was a free thing.
Yep.
On the PlayStation, like, and I remember that people, or I guess was it PS5, and people were like, it's really good. I did watch the trailer. I thought it looked really fun. I watched it with someone else who was like really pumped about it. I was like, they were like, this looks awesome. I'm like, does it? Like, I think it looks fun. Like, I don't know if it like blew my mind, but I think to me, it's one of those games. It's like somebody who loves these games is really going to love this. But I'll admit I got a little distracted.
I think you have to play it to get the appeal. I mean, okay, like the mascot, mm-hmm. like it looks generic on the surface, but then when you're kind of in the world and interacting with Astro and his little bot buddies, like it's a great mascot. Like this is what Sony kind of fumbled the bag with, like Sackboy, you know, for a little big play, like great mascot for you know, kind of PlayStation 3 era. And I think like Astrobot is so like they have the really cool looking Astro controller. Like this is like their mascot. They need to go. This is the mascot. This is the Sony mascot moving forward. That they have to build out this franchise because it honestly can compete with. It's like a Mario level platformer. It's really solid. Okay, Amanda, you got back to back picks, my friend.
I do have. Picks.
Pick your drops first. Just
I'll pick. Well, I mean, that's what's hard for. I know. I'll go first with one that I know for sure, which is that I'm gonna drop Hades 2 because it's not happening. At least in terms of what gets actual reviews. I think I'm gonna go with the Silent Hill 2 remake. I know it's like a beloved. I know the original was beloved by people who love creepy stuff. I watched the trailer. It looked creepy. I know Clint had talked about it previously. So I'll say Silent Hill 2 because I think it'll perform well, even though it scares me. And then I still, what's wrong with me? There's a part of me, like I have been asking in the group Discord, like, should I hold on to Hollow Knight Silksong, guys? Like, is it really ever going to come out? And everybody keeps saying, like, it's not coming out. It's not coming out. Like, it has pretty much missed every single opportunity to have a trailer. The only last place it could have a trailer reasonably for this year is at Gamescom, which is in, it's on August 21st. So, y'all, if I drop Silksong and a release date gets announced a week from now, I'm going to lose it. I will be unwell. I feel like I have to drop it. Like I can't, they've burned me so much and I don't think like take one for the team.
When it comes out, what's the, so you lose a fictional game, but you get Silksong, please take one for the team.
Yeah, I mean it's been lost. So I think I'm gonna take Dragon Age Veilguard. I watched the trailers for like all these games last night as like a refresher. David and Sam definitely picked the right first two picks. And between Assassin's Creed Shadow, which I think is going to be really fun, like I'm going to have a blast. It looks like Assassin's Creed. Like it doesn't look like it's going to like change, you know, the world of gaming, but I don't know. Dragon Age Veilguard could be fun. I'm a big BioWare fan. I'm concerned about how long this game has taken out. I was watching like a 20-minute gameplay trailer last night. I'm actually not entirely convinced it comes out this year either, but I think they want it to come out. And I liked Dragon Age Inquisition. So that's what I'm going to say. Those are my picks.
I think
a shocking pick there. Look, David and I were making Give Me Show a lot of looks. There was some
Really? Oh, all right.
I think you got the right picks. I think the order was wrong. So like I would not.
Yeah.
I think Veilguard is fine. Like I don't. It's BioWare, and I know they're, you know, the argument is that they're kind of a shell of themselves, so it's hard to know whether that game is going to be good. I think it looks good. I think of the games on the list, I would probably consider it. Silent Hill 2 is developed by Bloober Team, who did The Medium, which was a bad game. And they did what?
Wasn't that bad. It was just mediocre.
Okay, because you actually played it, right?
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't like a great game.
They have a blueprint.
Don't talk about, so, like, it's trash. Right. It's not,
I mean,
trash.
They're at least adapting something here. So I think that's a point in their favor.
Yeah.
If we're just going based on the pedigree of the studio, I want it to be good.
It's real. I mean, and I think that I know that Bloober also did Layers of Fear.
Yes, that was and Layers of Fear was good. Yes. Layers of Fear was good. That's a good game. I played that.
That's nice. That's good to hear that you like that. And I think it's a fun game. You know, Clint had played it and he gave it a 7 out of 10. But he did say he really liked it. Or at least he says, I wanted to like it.
Did he put a sequel? I think Layers of Fear 2, maybe?
It was like Layers of Fears or
he
something.
He played the, like, collection. The 2023 Got collection. It. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So maybe, yeah. Okay. So maybe not the same. Maybe we're not talking about the exact same games. But what he did say that was really good, and again, I've named dropped Clint, like, 7 times because he is, like, my horror game god, is that he did, like, the vibes. He was, like, there's a lot of, like, creepy, just, like, the vibes are creepy. And I think for Silent Hill 2, which is a game that is a lot about vibes, like there was some in the trailer, it reminded me in many ways of Alan Wake 2, and so I think that I don't know, I just sort of, I guess I think people like to be scared and I think people like to be kind of shocked, and I think it could score well for that, and I think there's a nostalgia factor that might play into it. Dragon Age Veilguard, I'm gonna be honest, like I feel very on the fence about this game, even though I'm definitely, I think, the biggest BioWare stan that we have. I think what worries me, the graphics don't look, I think, as good as Inquisition. So that makes me a little worried. Mm. The voice acting didn't seem always really synced up to the characters. And the combat is, they're moving away from an Inquisition. They had, like, turn-based like combat a lot of times, like it's not a traditional turn-based, but it's like this, you're constantly in menus, like micromanaging your character and other characters. And this is, they're attempting to do much more like real-time combat, and it looked cool. I don't know if it looked cool enough. Mm-hmm. So that's my critical analysis, is that I, in some ways it's easier to pick the game I don't know as well. Because this is the one that I'm like, don't burn me, man. Like, don't burn me. I waited so long for you. Mm. This could be another Hollow Knight Silksong for me, truly. So we'll see.
I'm rooting for it. I hope it's good. I think Thanks. It looks pretty solid.
Me too. I hope it's good.
So for me, I'm dropping Rise of the Ronin. It's just the lowest scored game that I have. I actually think there's a couple viable games that, like, at this, like, kind of next tier. I'm thinking, I don't know. I'll say it out loud because I think Sam's gonna go for it if I don't. But, like, my main question is, like, is Indiana Jones gonna come out for real this year? Especially with Avowed delayed, I feel like this game has to be their fall game. I think it'd be so silly for Microsoft to not launch anything besides Flight Sim. And then the question becomes: is Machine Games going to deliver? With a first, you know, with, it's still a first person game, but it's kind of a different vibe of game. So my mind goes there, but then it goes to, I think, what I'm actually going to pick here, which is Metaphor ReFantazio. And I'm doing this, at first I'd be like, I'm not touching this game with, like, a 10-foot pole because it's just, like, a new IP. And, like, yes, it's the Persona studio, but, you know, I just feel like this game is doing too much with its UI and the design. It just, like, looks messy.
It looks like a lot, man. Every time I Google it, I'm like, what is going on?
Impressions have come out and people seem to like it. So I'm like, maybe, I think Atlas, even when you think that they have the most obscure game to come out, like, you know, SMT5, not that that's obscure, but like Shin Megami Tensei Vengeance came out this year, like expanding the previous game. And that was like an 86 Metacritic. And I think the original game was like 85. So, like, if that's my floor with this game, I'm cool with that. I'm just hedging my bet a little bit, so that's my selection.
Not surprising at all. I mean, I know you're a big RPG guy, you're a big Persona guy. I feel like this game will, however it does a Metacritic, I know you will probably like it.
I hope so.
You'll probably, yeah.
Yeah, and I figured if any of us was going to pick it, it would be you. Yeah.
The music's also
I
boss.
Thought about it.
It's got good choir.
I thought about it, but yeah. All right, last pick, me. Okay. Princess Peach, you're out of here. You know, we hardly do you. I wish I had high hopes for you, but, you know, it doesn't always work out. So I'm not picking the following game. I do think Indiana Jones is coming out in December. Here's my view. I think I'm going to like it. I think it's going to be good. And I think it will get some points docked on the Metacritic scale for something that is built into the game, which is, it is not a third person Uncharted like. I think there's going to be a lot of people that just want Uncharted with Indiana Jones in it instead. And this game will not be that. I'm once again going with my heart. Dragon Quest III HD 2D Remake. I think.
Wow.
No, I know there's a lot of good options here. I think it looks fantastic. I think the visually, the music looks really good. I know that for people who are big fans of the series, Dragon Quest III is like the game that started, the game where the series started being actually good by some people's standards, like the way that some people might talk about Super Mario Brothers 3 or The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past or something like that, where like the series was good and important before, but now it's really going into a new stratosphere. That's what Dragon Quest 3, that's how it's talked about. All the other options I thought about, I'm not taking a Call of Duty game. Mario and Luigi is probably not going to get more than 84. These games don't score that high. Assassin's Creed looks good, but it's also kind of a, you know, wild card. So yeah, I'm sticking with Dragon Quest. I really do believe in that game. Yeah. I think it's going to be great.
Think it's a good pick. Do you know what's, I, for Team Industry, our picks we miss, I'm going to make a little bet, side bet, that Stalker 2 is going to be like the Baldur's Gate 3 of 2024. I think Stalker 2 is going to be like a 90.
The game for all the nerds.
I think Stalker 2.
It's
going to
be for all the PC nerds.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like Stalker 2 has been like in development for so long, and the trailers actually look kind of solid. Game Pass, being on Game Pass day one, gives me a little bit of pause, but I don't know. It wouldn't shock me. I would never bet on it. I would never draft it. It wouldn't surprise you if that game does incredibly well.
I mean, it looks good. I didn't play any of the other Stalker games or anything, so I don't
know anything. I look forward to downloading it on Game Pass, because they've been repping it as a day one Game Pass game for like 2 years now. So,
Yeah, I think a game that's going to be a big cult favorite from this list that we didn't pick, I think Slitherhead is going to be really popular. I don't know if it'll hit the Metacritic scores that I want it to be, but I think it's going to do very well. Looks like really fun, gross gameplay.
Yeah. Cool. Well, this was a successful waiver wire draft. Thanks for participating.
Yeah.
And I think I'm
Thank
kicking
you
it
for organizing
over. It. Of course. And I think I'm kicking it back over to our friend Sam here.
All right, so just to close out our episode, first of all, thank you everyone for listening, but let's all go around and say something we're playing right now. I've mentioned I'm finishing up Dungeons of Hinterberg. It's great. I plan after that to start Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess. Amanda, what are you up to?
Yeah, so I've had kind of a really hectic summer. The last few months have just been, got a lot going on. I've just been traveling a lot. And so I've been playing, I got a free Apple Arcade trial for 3 months. So I've been playing a lot of phone games, like, because it's, I was like, I just need something. Like, I didn't really have access to my Switch. And so I was like, I just need to like play something like to calm down. And I need some kind of game. And when Apple Arcade first came out, you know, years ago, I want to say 2019, 2020, somewhere around there, I got very into this game that they had at launch called Outlanders, and it only had a few chapters. A lot of the games didn't launch fully complete on Apple Arcade, and that was sort of a good deal for the developers to sort of get that investment. But I've been playing this game called Outlanders again, which is now complete years later, so it's like fun. I'm like revisiting this old friend, but it's this like town building management sim where it's like you're constantly trying to organize and be efficient. And there's like different challenges, like this town, you need to build more trees, like this town, like you have to hit this population size, but like there's only rocks. And it's just really fun. And I've been playing it a lot. Like I've been playing a lot of Outlanders. Yeah.
Nice.
David.
I'm on the same trajectory as Sam. So I'm playing Dungeons of Hinterberg and loving it. I do plan to play You're gonna have to say it again for me, Sam.
Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess.
Yeah, looking forward to that because I've heard nothing but great things. And then, yeah, Erdtree on the side. I'm glad to finally have Rebirth done with.
Yeah, move on with your life.
No, yeah. Great game, but yeah, Erdtree. And then on the side, I'm doing a little bit of reading, a little bit of breaking out the Kindle.
Nice, good for you.
Yeah, and then some games for review, as always. So looking forward to that. Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been a great show. Thank you so much for listening. Check out our site, punishbacklog.com, for more incredible content. And see you later. Happy gaming.
Hi again. It's me from the future or the present. I don't know. But as promised, here's the epilogue with some updates of what's changed since we recorded. Updates to my team. To my chagrin, Star Wars Outlaws did not hit as high as I hoped. On Metacritic, it's currently a 76, which is fine, but not ideal. Thankfully, I am extremely relieved to share with you that Hollow Knight Silksong still has not received any news or updates. I mean, obviously a bummer because I'd love to play Hollow Knight Silksong, but I'm really relieved for my fantasy team. Frostpunk 2 released and has an 86 on Metacritic. I reviewed it for our site. And I gave it an 88, but we do not submit our scores to Metacritic. We do submit to OpenCritic, though. But that's all just to say, no conflict of interest. Updates for Sam's team. The Plucky Squire released in mid-September and is sitting at an 84 on Metacritic. That's awesome. Really exciting for an indie. And The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom comes out in just a few days on September 26. Updates on David's team. First, Black Myth Wukong came out and is sitting at an 81 on Metacritic, you know, some respectable. And then, you know, the big one here is Astrobot has launched to rave reviews. Both David and Sam wrote about some of their impressions and what they loved about the game on our site, punishbacklog.com. And yeah, Astrobot's currently at a 94 on Metacritic, so great for David. This fall, we've got more podcast episodes planned, including a deep dive on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, a discussion of visual art styles in video games and how it's changed over time. You know, and something fun for the game of the year, end of year season. And of course, results of our fantasy gaming league. Thank you for listening and happy gaming.